establish your faithfulness. Let the heavens praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness in the assembly of the holy ones. For who in the skies can be compared to the Lord? Who among the heavenly beings is like the Lord? A God greatly to be feared in the council of the holy ones, and awesome above all who are around him. O Lord God of hosts, who is mighty as you are, O Lord, with your faithfulness all around you.
Amen. You're welcome to remain standing. You can be seated and just be free. Rejoice the Lord is King is a hymn that Charles Wesley wrote, and he wrote that hymn inspired by what our text is going to be this morning, Philippians 4:4. Rejoice the Lord is King.
Guide their hand, and Lord, that he would be whole and healed. We pray for Susan Richardson this morning, Lord, with a back.
Blessed are the people who know the festal shout, who walk, O Lord, in the light of your face, who exult in the name all day, and your righteousness are exalted. For you are the glory of their strength. By your favor our horn is exalted. For our shield belongs to the Lord, our King, to the Holy One of Israel.
Amen. I've had this verse resounding this week. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. I haven't been able to boil it down, but the statistic was that 53% of Christians voted for Trump and 46% voted for Biden. And so it's very likely this morning that some of you are ecstatic and some of you are sad. And so, you know, I was wanting to, Lord, what's the word for today? What is the word for today? In Philippians 4, and no matter where you're at this morning, no matter where you are on the spectrum, and we need to continue to intercede for our country, and but wherever you are this morning, this word is for all of us. And at first I thought, Lord, I don't know. You don't want to, there's a proverb that talks about you don't want to sing a song to somebody that's frustrated or sad. So Lord, I don't want to do that, but the word is, and let's just look at it, it's Philippians 4, these four commands. Probably one of the more famous texts in Philippians is rejoice in the Lord always, I'll say to him rejoice, and that's what I'm referring to. It's like, Lord, what? Why? But we always, how can we do that? We always, whether we're ecstatic or we're like, oh, Lord, I don't know what's going on, it's rejoice because we're focusing on him because of who he is. So Philippians chapter 4, these are Paul's final exhortations, and we're probably going to finish up Philippians next week, but he's kind of summing everything up. And what's he say? How does he sum up? What are the four finallys? And I made up that word. It's finally is usually an adverb, and I use it as a noun, but Paul made up words all of the time. So the four finallys, what are they, and how do they apply to each one of us? Philippians 4, starting in verse 1. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. I entreat Euodia, and I entreat, and I had to practice this word. Hold on just a second. Syntuki. I entreat Euodia, and I entreat Syntuki to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, my brothers and sisters, see that finally? He starts verse 4, and some of the translations say, finally, my brothers, in verse 1, and here we have he cases it. Finally, my brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. And the first finally, or therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, therefore, stand firm in the Lord. Stand firm in the Lord. Stand firm in him. Don't stand firm in what other people think, what other people say, popular opinion. Stand firm in the Lord. Who is he? He is faithful. He is true. He is seated on the throne. His plans cannot be thwarted. Stand firm in the Lord. And what does our standing firm look like? I think it's astounding. And one of the things that was really highlighted to me as I studied this is, as we stand firm in the Lord, what does he address in verse 2? He says, I entreat. And so it's that you can say that, you can also translate that word, I beg. It's like, I plead. I am pleading with Syntuki and Euodia to agree in the Lord. Part of our standing firm in the Lord is how we treat other people. And John 13, 13.
35 says, by our love for one another, that's how the world is going to know that, that God is love. And we can be right. How many of you know that we can be right, but we can be right in the wrong spirit? It's not good enough just to be right, but we need to be loving. We need to be gracious. We need to be kind. And these are two women that have co-labored with Paul. And I love that. They've co-labored with him. They've been ministers in the gospel with Paul. And he says, I entreat these women to agree. I ask you, true companion, to help these women. And so we don't know why there was a disagreement there, but there was. And Paul is encouraging these women to agree. He's entreating the person sending this letter, hey, I want you to meet with these women. I want you to encourage these women. We need to get along. And Bill Johnson this week shared an illustration, and it was so good, and I couldn't think of a better one. And Rich, you have my permission to interrupt me if I get this wrong. But when you tune a piano, you don't tune a piano to another piano. You tune a piano to a tuning fork. You can have 100 pianos, and you don't tune those things to each other. You tune them to the tuning fork. And earlier in Philippians 2, and I was astounded when I first preached this, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 2, Paul is exhorting them. He says, I want you to complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord, and have an of one mind. And then in Philippians 2, 5, he says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. And then he talks about Jesus being a servant and humbling himself. How in the world, when you've got a nation divided basically 50-50, when you have a church divided basically 50-50, how in the world can we come together and be of the same mind? How can we possibly do that? We do that by looking to Jesus. We do that by He is our Savior, He is our Lord, and we have to have our mind attuned to Him. We have to have our ears attuned to the Holy Spirit. And as a piano, as a group of pianos are not tuned to each other, because if they're tuned to each other, it's eventually going to be complete dissonance and complete ugliness, because it's not going to be in tune at all. And so we are to have the same mind because we look to Jesus. And when we are in a disagreement, we may disagree, but we ultimately have to come together and say, Lord, what do you say? We have to lay down our will, our desire, and say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. And what do you say? And so as we be strong in the Lord, we're strong in the Lord by standing on Him, but we're also strong in the Lord by how we treat one another, being gracious, being kind, being respectful, not being rude. Go back and revisit 1 Corinthians 13. Love is not boastful. Love is not rude. Love is not irritable. We need to be filled with the Spirit in these days. We cannot just rely on our own strength. We cannot be gracious and kind and loving all the time apart. And as we were praying this morning, Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. And so many of us try to do something apart from Him. But in truth, we can do nothing. And we need Him, and we need to be filled with Him. So stand firm. Finally, stand firm in the Lord. And it looks like loving one another. And it's possible by looking to Jesus, humbling ourselves before Him, having the same mind that was in Him, and Jesus being a servant. That beautiful Philippians 2 passage of Jesus not considering others better than Himself. And there's a humility in that. And it's not arrogant, and it's not rude. Stand firm in the Lord. Finally, number two. Rejoice in the Lord when I feel like it. Rejoice in the Lord sometimes. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. And I think he anticipates our like, huh? Paul, are you sure? Because he says, and I say it again, rejoice, rejoice. I was talking with Al and Fran this week and telling them about my experience when I was in Massachusetts. And so Southern Illinois, we're very friendly, and my youngest memories are in Southeast Missouri, and so very country, very rural. And when I went out to Massachusetts, I would be walking along. I'm there. I wanna get to know people. I didn't know anybody when I moved out there, and I'd be walking along the sidewalk at Gordon Conwell, and hey, people would look at me like what? And I learned when I was out there, I learned the nod. And when you met somebody out there, it wasn't, you didn't wave, you didn't greet them, you did this, gave them the nod. Very reserved, very, you know, it wasn't real exuberant. And it took me a while to kind of break out of that once I moved back, because I got used to the nod. And so no, it's okay to wave, it's okay to be warm. Again, it's just a very big cultural difference out there. But this word rejoice, it means, you can translate that word hail, hey. It can be like a greeting. And I remember when I was first saved, I walked into church one day, and I just so, when I became a Christian, there was immediate joy that flooded my heart. I'd been very insecure and afraid kid, very shy. And when I invited Jesus into my heart, it was like liquid joy was poured into me. And shortly after coming, having that experience, I walked into church and I was so excited to be there. I wanted to hear the word of the Lord. And I remember when the music started, I just raised up my hand and I waved like, hey, hi, Jesus, hey. It just felt so much joy. But that's what it's like. Well, he is alive and he is good. And this rejoice in the Lord, it's like, hey, hi, hi, Lord, hey. And it can be a greeting. And do you hear joy in that word? Rejoice. There's joy in that. And Paul is saying, I want you to rejoice in him. Remember who he is. He's good. He loves you. He's with you. He hasn't left you. His Holy Spirit is here. He hasn't left you as an orphan. Rejoice in the Lord. Don't rejoice. Sometimes our circumstances are hard. Acts, I think it's 16, when he and Silas are in prison, what do? And this was the place where they were. They were ministering in Philippi, and they got thrown into prison. And what is it they're doing? They're singing. They're singing. There is a joy that transcends our circumstances. There is his presence that transcends our circumstances. And the ministry of the Holy Spirit, that is the Spirit of Jesus. He is with us, and we need him more than maybe we've never ever needed him before. And I've had to repeatedly say this week, Lord, what does your Spirit say right now? I need to know what you say. I need to know what I need you. I need you, and his presence is very real, and we need him. Rejoice. And sounds a little bit silly and perhaps a little childish, but Jesus says, I want you to be like a little child. When you get up in the morning, just say, Lord, and I do this. I do. I think I can say every morning. I think I'm not exaggerating in that. Get up in the morning and say, Lord, I welcome you. Holy Spirit, come. I just welcome you. And if you want to, give him a wave. Hey, hey. Just to remind yourself, Lord, you're here. His very name, as I shared this past week on the Facebook Live, Yahweh, his very name means he is here. That's his name. He is with us. He is here. Emmanuel, he's with us. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. It's a greeting word. It's a joy word. It's a welcome word. Verse 5, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. It's an interesting translation of that word. I'm not sure why the ESV translates that reasonableness. Some of your translations say, let your gentleness, and that's a better translation of that word. It's a word for gentleness. It means ready to forgive. Wow. Do we need that right now? Readiness to forgive. Forbearance. Kind. Yielding, tolerant, courteous, kind. Psalm 86:5, the Greek translation of the Septuagint, Psalm 86:5, is talking. talking about the nature of God, I'm going to flip there because this is so important. Let your gentleness be evident to all. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call upon you. How the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, translates verse 5, they use that word there, gentleness. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving. That's our word right there for gentleness. And so rejoice in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness, let your tolerance, let your kindness, let your willingness to forgive, let that be evident to all. Our worship should influence how we treat other people. If we come into worship and we're out and we're being rude and we're being condescending and we're being arrogant, and that's not Christian. Our worship, our encounter with Jesus should influence how we treat other people. So out of our worship, rejoicing in him for who he is, as I shared last week, there should be an encounter like the Mary, the sinful woman, and Mary of Bethany when they poured out worship on Jesus' feet. That worship is beautiful. But if our worship doesn't influence how we treat other people, that's not real worship, because it should change us. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Let your gentleness be evident to everyone. The world is looking at us, church, as we go in the days ahead. Are we going to be arrogant? Are we going to be, no matter who you voted for, no matter who you voted for, it doesn't matter. The commandment to all of us is to love one another. The commandment is the same. Let your gentleness, your willingness to forgive, let it be evident to all. The Lord is at hand. He's not far. He's with us. He is at hand. Verse 6, finally, number 3. Do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious about anything. That word means do not fret. Do not be distracted. Do not be worried about. Do not be anxious about anything. And you're like, that's not possible. And you are right. It isn't. What are we exhorted to do? He says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. That little word for prayer, we make prayer so complicated. That little word for prayer is to ask for help. I think last summer, didn't I make that book available, Prayer, by O. Hallisby? I think so. And that's one of the most helpful books on prayer I've ever read. If you've never read it, it's Prayer, just titled Prayer. You can get it on Amazon. It's not expensive. O, period. He's Norwegian. I think his first name is actually O-L-E, but O, period. Hallisby. You know, the whole preface of that book is about prayer and is being helpless. If you're helpless and you can't fix it, if that's how you feel, that's good, because that's what prayer is. Because again, Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Prayer is asking for help. When we are anxious, when we are afraid, when we feel overwhelmed, prayer is just coming and asking help. It's asking help. There have been times in my life when I have been so afraid, when I have been so overwhelmed with grief and fear, when I didn't even have a word, when all I could do was literally fall on my knees and ask help. Help me. Help. People, that is a powerful prayer. And that's what Paul is saying here. Don't be anxious. Don't be anxious. But in everything, by prayer, asking for help, and petition, asking the Lord. And I've done a lot of walking this week because it's been beautiful, hasn't it? Wish it had been this warm a couple weeks ago when we were out at the fairgrounds. But it's been absolutely beautiful. And just, I've been taking like 2-hour walks. politicians, but he wants us as a father. He knows where we are. He knows what we're thinking, and he wants to dialogue with us. And so prayer is asking for help, so that's not hard. Help, help, and just petitioning, asking, and lifting it up before him. And what's the promise? Do not be anxious about anything. Don't be distracted. Don't be worried about. And part of our distraction, it is self-inflicted. And I've been sharing this with you. You're probably getting tired of hearing me say it. But it's such a, it's so where we are right now. We're being bombarded with so much. If you are fearful and anxiety and distracted, it's probably because you're spending way too much time on social media, on watching the news, and it needs at least to be 50-50. I would say it needs to be more like 80-20. Spending time with the Lord, meditating on him, and then checking those things. Because it's a distraction. And it gets our focus off of the Lord, and we can't hear his voice anymore. And if you can't get in that place of peace, if you cannot get in that, and I'm speaking to myself as much as anybody here, when you're praying and you can't get settled and you can't get in that place of peace, that's a sign that you need to spend, you're spending too much time doing other stuff, and you need to stay with him. Today is Sunday. As Christians, our Sabbath day is Sunday because it's the day that Jesus walked out of that tomb alive. And it's a day of rest. It's a day to just focus on the Lord. And one of the things that we've slowly allowed over the years is we don't keep a Sabbath anymore. We don't, you know, we do what we want to do. But I just encourage you all to make a Sabbath day a day of rest. Sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is sleep. You may just need to sleep. But I encourage you to take a day where you just turn everything off, go outside, focus, spend time in the Word, spend time in worship, until you can get in that place of peace. Because the promise is, as we petition and we give thanks, don't forget to give thanks, because it says as you do all this with petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the promise is, and the peace of God will guard, will protect, will be a shield around your heart and your mind. Do you need peace as a shield right now? Do you need peace around your mind? Do you need peace around your heart? You better be praying. Rejoice. When we're anxious, we need to offer it up. We need to thank him. Remember who he is with thanksgiving. Present it all to the Lord. The promise is peace. The promise is peace. Guarding our heart and our mind. And finally, number 4. Verse 8. And the verb isn't until the very last 4 words in verse 8. It says, think about these things. And we're going to go over them in a minute. But I want you, that word for think, it's a very interesting little word. You can say ponder. And again, I'm not a money person. I mean, I barely can manage my checkbook. You know, I don't like anything having to do with numbers or taxes or anything else. So Rich, again, you can help me out here. But the word reckon. That's a slang term. I hear reckon, and you know, you hear Southerners think, well, I reckon I'll go for a walk this afternoon. You know, I reckon this. Well, actually, I always thought that was slang. But when you look at the word reckon, it means to consider, to ponder, to think about, all things considered. And so I may start using that word. It's not just a slang word. I reckon. And it's also a word where accountants, they'll reckon the account. They'll gather. Jeannie, you might know that too. It's a word for counting. And so you look at everything. You look at everything. You count it all. And then you reckon it. It comes to a final. And so Paul is saying, I want you to think. I want you to reckon. I want you to consider. I want you to, all things considered, I want you to think, consider, reckon these things. Whatever is true, whatever is whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, finally, think about these things. Ponder these things. Reckon these things. Let that be your filter through which you think about what you're thinking about, through which you consider what you're watching on TV. As you look on Facebook or social media, is it excellent? Is it pure? Is it honorable? Then you don't need to be looking at it. We need to focus on Jesus. And what sums up all of those things? Jesus. So if there's any, I'm going to read Philippians chapter 2. Go back to Philippians chapter 2. If there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being found in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Finally, saints of the Lord, be strong in him. Treat one another with love and respect. Finally, saints of the Lord, rejoice in the Lord always. And I say it again, rejoice. Finally, saints of the Lord, do not be anxious or distracted about anything, but in everything with prayer and petition,